Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast. I'm Ollie Lum, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Seddon. We've got a very exciting episode for you guys today. Matt and I were joined by Mark Hookway and Nikki Faulkner to debate our picks for the top spots at next weekend's British Olympic Trials. Mark's a guy who needs no introduction, and it was great to get him back on the podcast for a second time. Nikki was our stat man for this episode, and he compiled some excellent stats around head-to-heads and race tactics to help frame some of our discussions. And we've all had some differing opinions in this throughout, but we managed to somewhat agree on who we think is going to take home the gold medals next weekend. If you're stuck on who to choose for our prediction contest, maybe this will help you out, and Matt's just going to touch upon how you can enter that now.
If you haven't heard of it, or you haven't entered the prediction contest for the British champs that we're hosting, all you got to do is predict 8 winners from 800, 1500, steeple, 5k, and obviously men's and women's. So that's your 8 winners. How easy is that? You know, tell us who you think is going to win. Also, for the tiebreaker, if all 10 of you or 100 people guess the same winners on the off chance, there's a tiebreaker. You've got to predict the men's 1500 meter winning time, and the person closest to that time obviously walks home with the grand prize, £100 cash, and the New Balance RC Elite V2 Super Shoes. Cheat your way to a new PB. Just joking about the cheating part. Go run a new PB in these shoes, you know. The end of summer's coming. Road race season will be upon us in the winter. So you're going to need these shoes and you're going to need this cash. So go into the competition. All you got to do is like the post, competition post on the at Sunday Podcast Instagram. Like the post, share the post on your story and enter the competition. Easy as that. Win the shoes, win the money. Thank you very much.
Yeah, look, it's as simple as that, guys. If you want to be in with a chance of winning that £100 cash and the New Balance Fuel Cell RC Elite V2 racing shoes provided to us by sportsshoes.com, that's all you need to do.
Lum has told you. I'm just going to confirm it. You know, this podcast is to hype up the British champs and to tell you who is going to win or who the experts think is going to win the British champs. So take their advice or don't take their advice. Enjoy. And if any of you are around at the British champs, come say hi. I'm always open, you know. If you're an athletics fan, you're a friend of mine. So, yeah, if I see you around British champs, just come say hi. We'll talk athletics. And, yeah. Anyways, get out for your run. It's a long one. So, yeah, enjoy.
Mark, Nikki, welcome to the podcast. Mark, welcome back, I guess. Good to have you back on the pod. And Nikki, yeah, welcome. First time on the podcast, so good to have you on as well. Do you guys mind just introducing yourselves for our guests? Like Mark, you've already done it before, so we'll let you go first.
Yeah, Mark Hookway, Tonbridge Athletic Club coach and team manager. Am I the first person to be on twice? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you are. First returner.
Yeah, honoured. I've only ever been with Tonbridge since 1975. In the last 20 years, been coaching and team managing the Tonbridge teams, especially on the endurance side, of course. And very interested in the sport. And it's probably the most interesting time I can recall ever, I should imagine, at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself, Nikki? Probably back that up.
Yeah. So I'm first and foremost just a massive athletics fan, always watching athletics, listening to podcasts like yours, and following athletics news. I am also a runner. I'm not anywhere near the level that you normally get on your pods. I'm a middle distance runner. Originally ran for Bexley AC where I grew up, moved to Highgate Harriers, and now I'm based with Thames Valley Harriers. Been running for just over 15 years, but there's been some steady progress. Probably third on the list and third priority in my life really is that I'm a PhD student, so studying biomedicine. I'm kind of just, I think that's where I like to get my obsession with detail and stats in athletics, and try to use that information to understand athletes better and also kind of like predict races really.
Yeah, for sure. You're our kind of resident Statman John, Nikki. I reckon you've got to start your Twitter account up soon.
Please.
But yeah, I think we just wanted to get started and chat about we got a bit of an addition to the trials. We got a 10k going down on, is it the Thursday, Friday?
Friday night, yeah.
Friday night. First, I'm just going to throw out to you guys. So, like, Matt, do you want to start? Like, what's your first thoughts on this 10K being put on for Farah then?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we saw Farah at the, what was the actual trials, at the 10K in Birmingham. And obviously, he fell short of the standard. So, to my surprise, they put on another one. I mean, I was, like, I think we spoke about it earlier. I was surprised how good Farah interviewed after the race. It's probably the best interview I'd heard from Farah. You know, he said this is the sport. And what surprised me the most is the fact he wanted to chase after the 10K time. I thought Farah would probably be done or rely on, I don't know, some dodgy selection from British Athletics because he's a past Olympian and stuff. But as far as the event goes, I mean, there's been two sides to it. A lot of people disagree with it. There should be chances for others as well. But we've never had these circumstances before, ever. And I kind of just think, why wouldn't you? We've currently only got two guys in the 10K anyway who have run the standard, Scott and Aitken. So there is a third spot up for grabs anyway. So I just think, you know, it's a double Olympic champion. Why wouldn't you give him a second chance to run the standard? I don't know what your thoughts are, Mark.
Yeah, you're right. There was a lot of people really anti in the sport. I don't need to delve into, you know, the Nike Oregon project connections and that, whether that taints your view. But just looking at it is the fact that he's an icon of the sport, double Olympic champion. He draws in the TV viewing public. And I think that, yeah, you're right. It is on the Friday night at 9:30. I think my wife, who's an official, is wondering what time she's going to get dinner that night now, thanks to Mo Farah. I think it's a good thing. Last year, the Friday night viewing figures were really good, I think, for just the heats on BBC Two. I think it was about 1.5 million. But It'd probably double it yeah. You know, with the attention. So I think that's got to be good for the sport and everybody. I must admit, immediately I thought, what about Sam Atkin and what his views of it were? Because he was down for the 5,000. He dropped out of Nice, claiming he had jet lag last week, which he probably did. He's in a situation where he's got to prove fitness to get there, because he's, as you said, he's got the 10,000 meter time. So there's a lot going into this. The difficulty I have is you click on the link and there's no entries yet showing. So you don't know who's going to run it. So that's where I am with it. I'm just going to be very interested to see who might swap from the 5,000 to the 10,000. You know, Paddy Deaver, is he recovering at all after the NCAA excellent performances he had there, including winning the 10,000 in 27:41. So he's 13 seconds off the qualifying time. Is it worth a shot? Don't know. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what the lineup looks like.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, in terms of Paddy as well, he's what, 5 or 6 seconds off the 5K? So he's got a tough decision, you know, to make if the 10K is available to him. With the entries, I don't know. I mean, I presume Farah's going to have maybe Bashir and a few of, you know, the people he trains with pacing him. One thing I didn't know is I don't know if they're going to have the pacing lights there. And if they do have the lights for the 10K, are they going to put the lights for the other events as well? I don't think they will, but you saw at the Ethiopian trials, the lights were there and how that could change the dynamic. But I think personally, it adds, when you're watching on TV, I think it does add a little bit of a factor for the general public. Because they're like, oh, that's the Olympic standard. It's almost like the athletes are playing chase to this time. And it does add like a little bit of excitement to the races. So I don't know, you know, if they've got the lights there, they might just put them on just for a reference point for the crowd. And then I don't know if that will change the whole dynamic of the champs in general. I don't think British Athletics would do that, but I'm concerned they will do it. What do you think, Nicky? Oh, Mark, yeah, Mark. Mark seems to...
You just made me think about that one because... I'm very close to one of the 1500 meter runners who's run 0.5 seconds outside the Olympic qualifying time. And this might be his only shot at getting it. And you're dealing one person differently from somebody else, aren't you? It's you know, an interesting thought you got, Matt.
Yeah, I think time will tell. And like you say, a very interesting, you know, what it could bring for the champs, but I prefer out and out racing, especially at a champs. But a lot of people like Westy Mark, there's a lot of people in that position who are just outside standards who would love to have the lights for a reference point. So, yeah.
I think the only other side to the argument some people making, I'm not necessarily saying I agree with it, but they were saying that Farah should have gone to the Fast Friday in Leeds on the Thursday night. And obviously, I think there's that argument that, yeah, there was a race available, but I think Matt and I discussed this a couple of days ago, and it's, we don't want to put him on a pedestal, but it is Mo Farah, and he has done what he's done, like, regardless of what you think about him. As you said, Mark, he's like probably the greatest athlete this nation's ever had. So if we're going to put on race for someone, then I think he deserves something back a bit. And like having that atmosphere and that occasion, not saying Fast Friday is not going to be a great event. And I think they'll put on a good event there for some guys. But I think you've got to remember this is a guy who goes and races in Monaco and where you like. I'm not saying that's necessarily right, but I think sometimes it just does affect it. What's your thoughts on all that, Nicky?
Yeah, I think same as Mark. I think it's a good thing for the sport to have Mo Farah at the trials. I know he's not racing in a trials race, but having him there, it will boost numbers. It will boost publicity for the event. So I think it's a good thing to have him there. I think I'll be interested to see who's in his race. And my first thought was as well as like who's going to transition from the 5K to the 10K maybe, but whether they put on one for the women's race, because you know you've got Amy Eloise Markov, who is very very close to that standard. I think she's half a second or something, or within a second of the standard, and maybe you know that 5K race for her looks really really hot. That 5K race for in the women's. At the British Champs. So I think, you know, if you'd given her a chance, if you'd given Verity Ockenden another chance, would they have taken that? So I felt like, yeah, it's great that we're putting on for Mo, but we should also be, I hope that they discussed with the women saying, you know, who's who wants that race put on. Maybe they all just wanted to do the 5K. I'm not sure when they prepared for that. Yeah. And as for wave light technology, I think if you're going to put on a paced race, it helps. It clearly seems to help people. So yeah, stick it in. But I don't think that for championship races necessarily that it's, I like to see the actual people race for a position as opposed to racing for a time. And I think, yeah, there's some people for sure who would benefit from wave light technology. You know, Ellie Baker's another one who is very close to the standard, I think. So yeah, and there's a lot of guys who would probably go with it in the 15, I think. But I think in terms of championship racing, it's better not to have it from my perspective. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I mean, we saw in the NCAAs, Nagoose ran 3:34 in his heat. Imagine if they did have the lights, you know, athletes could do something like that, you know, especially like with an 800 where the likes of Ellie Baker, you know, they probably have quite a good recovery system, you know, like they can handle two hard 800s back to back. So, yeah, that's a point as well. But yeah, should we move on? I was just going to say on the women, I was just looking at your stats, Nicky, as well. Like, I'm not sure. I mean, I can't speak for them, but I'm not sure too many of them would have fancied another 10K as well. Like they've all, you know, all the girls you referred to seem to have the 5K standard. And so maybe they just fancy their chances at that. But
I think the thing is, at the moment, with the men, only one person is guaranteed to go, whereas the women, they've got two guaranteed already.
Yeah.
So, like, without Farah's thing,
because
obviously it's a chance for Sam Atkin as well, not just Farah. Like, you say, yeah, it probably wouldn't have happened just for Atkin, but it's a chance for both of them, really, to kind of pick another one or two. Whereas the women's team is, it's not full, but is... You've got your two already selected, I think.
Yeah, I do see your point for sure.
Right. Enough of Mo Farah. Let's get to the big ones then. We'll start with the 800s. We'll go shortest, longest. Should we start with the men's? I think maybe slightly easier than the women. I don't know. We'll start with the men's 800 and we'll get going. Matt, do you want to kick us off, mate? You can just give us some ramblings on.
Where
we think the medal is going to come from.
The format we're going for is on the podcast today is we're going to try and help the viewers decide for our prediction contest. You know who they should back for their winners, basically the British champs, in order to win the New Balance fuel cell racing shoe and £100 cash. So we're just going to try and advise you, and we're going to basically pick our team. We've all got different ideas, but I think this is probably. They're all really hard to call. And like Mark said, it's the most interesting champs I've ever seen since I've been alive and been involved in the sport. But I think this race is probably the hardest one. If you want me to pick a winner, for me is just Dustin's performance the other night in Nice was just absolutely outrageous. But it was more the way he did it, the way he was able to kick that last 200. In 800 meter running, you don't tend to see people finish fast like that. So when you do, you got to take them seriously. And I think Langford was kind of that way in 2017, the way he was able to finish quick. And I think Dustin is similar. And I think now he's run 1:43 as well. And he did that with a big kick. It's almost like, is there a race he can't lose? You know? So I would say Dustin over Giles for me. I think Giles, Dustin and Bergin would be my top three. Dustin, Giles, Bergin in that order, I think. Yeah, Mark's laughing. What do you think about that? My thing is, I think Bergin might get pushed around a little bit and he seems to enjoy front running. So I've put him in third spot.
You asking me?
Yeah, man.
Well, potentially, it is the most fascinating race, partly because of the different tactics. You know, you could have 30 or 40 metres at the bell between the first and the second with Max Bergin running the way he goes about it. The only thing is, I don't know for sure whether he's had a calf injury and he's actually going to toe the line. I don't know whether the under 23 championships coming up this weekend is going to affect some of these thought processes that we've got, because who's going for the Olympics, who's going for the under 23s, who's going to try and do both, that's in the mix as well. I really, really hope that he's fit, because it just adds that ingredient to it, to see somebody go through in 50 seconds and the nudge gamble everyone's taking. Either you let him go and one position's gone, or you go for it and follow him. The other aspect is, don't forget, Elliot Giles is coming to the season quite late. He ran at Wimbledon, ran a 3:40, 1500, then improved to 3:33 for 1500. Although clearly he could probably have gone quicker at Wimbledon. And then he's run a 1:45 in his first 800. So he's coming at it a bit later than some of them, I suppose, in terms of fitness. So he's on an upward trajectory. And then, I don't know. Why I was laughing is you didn't put Dan Rowden in the first three, and he's the champion, and he was world number three last year.
Yeah, he was really impressive last year.
So, and he's lightning quick, and he's pretty cool character. Do you want me to say?
Well, yeah. Go for your top three, Mark.
I had Rowden down to win. That's why I was laughing. So I'd probably go Rowden, Giles, Dustin.
Okay. Similar to mine, Mark. I've gone Giles, Rowden, Dustin. I think, like you say, I think Max will make it interesting, but I think these guys are, I think, just maybe the racing experience at this level for Giles and Rowden. And I think with Dustin, Matt, I think he almost, like, if he could have saved that race for the British champs, it'd have caught him off guard a bit. I think Giles is going to be waiting for it now. I just don't think Giles had it on his radar the other week.
Giles went out hard as well.
And and once he came past, it's too late, like when he's moving that quick. But I think if Giles is in the front this time with 100 to go, he's going to be waiting for it, and then he's going to have something else. And I just think we're looking at Giles kind of like wins in this race, and he knows how to win the British champs. He had one year where he kind of messed it up a little bit. When was that? 2019. Nicky, you can tell me more. What are stats telling us? So yeah, I've got Giles, Rowden, Dustin, and what are stats telling us about these, about the head-to-heads between some of these guys we've been chatting? And we haven't even discussed a lot of the guys who are in and around there still either.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right in that 2019 race, which we all remember, where it was absolute carnage and Spencer Thomas came through to win it out of nowhere, basically. And it was all because all of the big guns were looking at each other. And I think eventually Spencer and Guy came through really quickly at the end, didn't they? I think it's so interesting, this race. And as Mark was saying, I think the tactics behind it will play into it so much, because if Max Bergen is there and takes out hard, then it becomes a very different race to if he's not there. I think if he's not there, I don't see really it going through that quickly. And I think then someone might end up at the front who kind of just happens to be there, as opposed to being a natural front runner. So I think there's two races in my head. One is if Max Bergen is there and it's fast, and then I think other people will sit on him and try and attack him. And I think, unfortunately, I think I don't think he'll be able to hold off attacks from people like Rowden and Giles with 200 to go. The thing with only Dustin is that, yes, he finishes so quickly and there's no stopping him once he comes past you, like you say. But also, in a championship race, is he going to hang back that much? I mean, there's going to be so much pressure on him. He's now probably the favourite. Are you really going to sit as far back as he likes to sit and then come through? I just think he might be a bit nervous. And I really, I've underestimated him in every single race that he's done this year. Every year I've thought he's out of it, and then he comes through like an absolute train. So he'll probably do exactly the same thing in the champs. But I do wonder whether he's going to push a little bit harder just to make sure he's right in contact. But I don't know whether he's going to leave it so that there's such a big gap. And the other race that I see is if Max Bergen doesn't take it out hard, and if it isn't that quick, then I think you might get someone like Rowden at the front, or maybe Elliot Giles at the front, one of them kind of like controlling it. And I think Rowden can do that. I think Dan Rowden is, I love him as a runner. I think he's so smooth, so cool, so composed. And I think he will just keep holding people off. I think maybe Giles might come past him or something, but I think those two are going to be the top two. And then I think the third one is either going to be a really fast finishing Ollie Dustin, or it's going to be someone else who follows the kind of reacts to the moves and could sneak it. If it's fast, it might be someone like Finlay McClear, who's been running really well out in the NCAA system. Run 1:45, and he knows how to get through championships, and he's done a lot of rounds and stuff. So I think he might sneak in. He's one to watch for sure. But any of them, you know, Jamie Webb could hold on and finish a third. I think he likes to kick a little bit further out. But yeah, it could be anyone's for third. But my three would be, I think Rowden's going to win it, Elliot Giles, and then I think a fast finishing Ollie Dustin is probably going to take third.
That's it. I think are we on a vote between Rowden and Giles then? I think, yeah. Were those the ones that we all kind of had? The top two. I mean, it's up to you, Matt. Really, who you?
Yeah, no.
I said Giles, and I think yeah. Did you, Nicky and Mark? You both said Rowden, or did you not say your order, Nicky? And
so, for the winner between Giles and Rowden.
Yeah, if we're gonna have to give one.
Yeah, I would. Just the way Giles is running. Rowden was exceptional last year. I don't know if we've quite seen the Rowden from last year yet. So I'll probably go with Giles's 1500 the other night. I'll go with Giles.
Nicky, happy with that? Mark, happy with that?
Yeah, the only thing I would add is when you look at the full list, you've got people like Alex Bottrell, Yusuf Bizimana, Guy Learmonth, probably upset with mentioned it.
And like, obviously, like, we could talk about all these guys all day long. Like, we could have a whole podcast for each event. But
all I was going to say is
the kind of the talent we've got at the moment.
All I was going to say is the 800 meters heats at the British Champs are notorious because you typically have four heats with only the winner going through automatically.
Yeah.
Two things on that. Looking at the list of entries, I think it's going to be three heats, which means the first two, which changes things at that level.
Yeah.
And secondly, looking at the weather forecast, although we're quite a way away, it says very little wind, which is a good thing in this circumstance, because if it's windy and you've got loaded heats and you've only got the heats in the final, it really makes it a lottery. So a couple of things there. Before we even get to the final, there's some significant things are going to happen in this event.
Well, I second that, because in the 800 meters, it's one of the probably the hardest events to often qualify for, because it's such a close race, and you know you've got to be in the final to win the final, and there will be a couple big names who probably miss out, and it'll be the same in the women's as well. A couple big names who miss out. I think the NCAAs last weekend, the guys who were first and second, they were the little cues. You know, they were the fastest losers going into the final. So I think you're spot on there, Mark. Yeah, so I guess is it two votes for Giles? Two votes for Giles?
I said it, and Mark, and then, you had Rowden down, and Nicky, did you say which way?
I think I'm going to back Rowden. Oh,
so it's a tie.
There you go. You can choose.
Mark, choose whoever they want. They can completely disagree with us, but I think. Being that's a fair look at it, and I think it just shows you that the amount of names on that list is crazy, and I think someone big, probably someone we've spoken about, will miss out on the final, like you said, Mark. Like, I think it's quite easy, and then that shakes things up as well, like, massively.
I think what's so good about these events, like the 800 and the 1500, and the events which have more than three people with the time, is I don't know how British Athletics are going to pick the team. That's a serious headache for the third spot. But I'm hoping that it is pretty much, you know, for example, if Dustin comes third or Webb comes third or whoever gets that third spot, in my eyes, should just go to the champs if they've got that time. And I'm hoping that's the way. And because we saw it in the 10K, you know, the athlete's emotion after the event, once they knew they had done enough for the Olympics, is just, you know, was what's the sport all about, you know? So I'm hoping it's the same at the British Champs as well.
Yeah, for sure. Right, let's sidestep to the women then. And not much of an easier task at all. I might just kick off here, actually. I'm going to put it out there. I think Gemma Riki can... I think Matt and I have discussed before, like, I think she can run this in many ways. And I think she has to be the favourite, just looking at all the races she's won. But then Alex Bell and Keely Hodgkinson both look very impressive. I think Alex put on her story on Instagram the other day, she dropped a 52, 400 time trial. Something like that. And I was like, that is serious wheels for an 800 metre runner. Yep. If it's slow, I think it plays into her hands a bit. But I still think Riki can pretty much...
Breaking news on this event as well. Muir has accepted the invite for the 800 as well. I don't know what you think about that, Mark.
Well, that was going to be my main point. Riki and Muir, I think Riki's accepted the 1500 as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've both accepted both events.
I don't think the timetable allows you to do both in their situation. And to be honest, there was a couple of years ago, there was a lot of aggravation about Laura Muir's declaration for her event at the time in the British Champs.
What we just spoke about, the heat, someone getting knocked out, if Muir does the eight, that could knock out a big name.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and I think... Yeah, we're in a competitive sport. Everyone's trying to get their edge. But I think there's some courtesy and respect of other athletes that's required sometimes, and declaring your event beforehand. You know, as you've just said, the third place person, as long as they've got the qualifying time and they're in the mix of selection, you'd hope might be selected. You don't want to be finishing third and then wondering whether they're going to stick Laura Muir in the 800 or whatever, do you? It's, I think there should be a declaration of intent. Unfortunately, when you go through the selection document, it actually says you only have to declare 24 hours before the selection meeting. And that is on the Sunday of the championships. So I don't know. Something could leave a bitter taste in my mouth over this one. I just hope it's clear cut before we actually go into the championships, what's going to happen. But yeah, you've got Ricky Muir, whoever does it, Alex Bell, Keely Hodgkinson, Adele Tracy, all with the qualifying time, with Ellie Baker a fraction outside, haven't you? So again, it is loaded. You're asking me to pick now, or
Nikki, you want to tell us the head-to-heads with Ricky and pretty much the rest of the field?
I think Riki's definitely got the best head-to-head. She's 2-0 up against Alex Bell and Keely. She's beaten Adele Tracy 3-2, Ellie Baker 3-1. The only person actually that she doesn't have a positive record against is Isabel Boffey, who she's lost to twice and beaten once. So I don't know in what context that was. It might have been when they were both juniors.
Yeah.
But Izzy Boffey's got a positive record against her, so maybe an outside chance. I don't know. She does finish very quickly. And then I think Alex Bell and Keely have only raced each other once. Alex Bell came out on top there. But I think in recent times, they've kind of not really gone to the same meets. Both of them run in Europe quite a lot and domestically quite a lot, but they don't seem to cross over much. I think Gemma looks best on the head-to-heads, and I think she's the one probably to beat, especially now that Lindsay Sharp and Shalana Oskin-Clark seem to either, well, Lindsay's obviously not going because she's pregnant, and Shelley doesn't seem to be quite in the form. And I think those two have dominated the championships in recent years, really, apart from last year. So it's time for someone to take it on going forward. And Gemma Riki's never won a British champs. And I think this is her time probably to try and go for it. I think she can win it in a number of different ways. I think she doesn't mind being at the front and controlling it. But also she can sit off people and finish quickly. I don't know whether there's necessarily a kind of classical front runner in this race. I think Ellie Baker may have to go for the time. I'm not sure. But I actually really rate Ellie Baker as a racer. I think she gets herself in really strong positions. I always just think, oh, she's in a great... Whenever I've watched her races, I always see her in good positions to attack with kind of 300, 200 to go. So I wonder if Ellie Baker might cause an upset and get in to kind of third. If she sits in the race, she might be able to finish quickly. And if it is run outside 2 minutes, I wonder if she might actually be able to finish quite quickly and sneak third, in which case we'll all be asking Mark to put on another selection race 2 days after the trials, probably, so that she can chase the standard.
I don't even think there's time this time, is there, Mark? Is it Monday morning? I think for me, it's spot on Ricky. I think she can win it whichever way. The only thing is, Ricky might just, or her coach as well, they might look at it. And I do think the 1500 on the ladies with McDonald obviously not racing, she looks injured, and Courtney as well looks a bit injured. It's probably an easier event for Ricky to bag an Olympic spot. I would say is the 1500, but she seems to be racing a lot of 800, so it looks like she's going to do the 8. So if she does do the 8, I would say she's going to come out on top. Would you agree, Ollie?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, I think, like we said, I think like if she wants to control it and then run away from him, I think she can. The only way I see Riki getting beat is if she gets almost overconfident and lets it get really slow. Like we're talking, like not really slow, but like 2-3, 2-4. I think that's where she could, just because it opens it up to more people. But I think if the race is won in sub 2 minutes, I just can't see her getting beat. Like, and that's not a slight on the other athletes. I think she's just racing a lot against good athletes and winning. And like I see Riki like being a shot for a medal at the Olympics, let alone British champs. Like
the same with a lot of British girls.
Yeah, so it's,
yeah,
that's it for me.
Yeah, Mark.
What yourself? Do you guys think of?
Sorry, Nicky.
Now, what do you guys think of Keely? Where do you think she'll feature in the race? Because if you'd asked us in March, we'd all be saying Keely would be winning.
I know even in
March, I don't think I'd put her beating Riki. I think she's excellent. Don't get me wrong, and I think she'll definitely get silver or bronze for me. But I just think Riki is a kind of, she's that almost stepped up to that next level.
Yeah, in my opinion. I just say, like, as fans, it's so easy to just go on the most recent performances. Mm. Like I say, Keely hasn't raced in a little while, and I was almost forgetting about her then. And you just go on, like, you know, what's fresh in your mind, and you know who's looking good. So yeah, Keely does know how to win, obviously indoors and even was it Ostrava as well?
Yeah.
You know, and then I think just in Doha, she got a bit unfortunate. It's a long way away, and you know, you're tired going into it. But yeah, why would you favour Keely a little bit, Nicky?
I think that Keely is the reigning British champ, so she shouldn't be ignored for sure. I think that she'll probably be one of the first to start attacking, I think. I think with kind of down that back straight, she'll start positioning herself for a move, I think. And I think it could, I think she could come through. I think she'll come through and take either second or third. I think it depends how much she has to work to get herself into a position with 200 to go. If she's on the outside, looking really smooth, doesn't have to do much work to get herself on the shoulder, I think she'll get second. But I think if she's having to work quite hard to get out of maybe the inside, because sometimes she gets a bit boxed, then I think Alex Bell might hold on to second or come past her in second. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Keely will be in the top three for sure.
So, Mark, do you want to finalise? Could be your decision.
Yeah, well, gut instinct says to me, if Keely Hodgkinson's at her best, I think she's the one that can beat Gemma Riki. Like you say, though, she hasn't raced for a few weeks, so we don't know for sure what state she's in. And Riki's raced an awful lot, and perhaps some of those races were just part of training almost, you know, mm-hmm. states and things like that. So she wasn't always looking absolutely superb. She did take a few losses as well. It's so tight, isn't it? Because there's all these 158, 159 runners in here. And what's great about this, probably, not from her point of view, but from our point of view, is Ellie Baker being a fraction outside.
Yeah.
So she's going to have to make it fast. She can't, she's going to have to make a decision in the first 25, 30 metres of the race. And that just adds a really good extra bit of ingredient to it for me. But I'd probably go, at their best, I've written down Hodgkinson, Riki and Bell, but I've changed my mind since the start of this discussion. So, you know, that's what I've put down.
Wow. Okay.
We still 3-1 on Riki, though.
Yeah. So we go with Riki, but Hukwe's...
We all had the same top three, though, for that one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be Stephanie gonna be close, but yeah, the Sunday podcast decides on Ricky for that.
Ricky.
Yeah, what were we men's 15. Wow, here we go. This is I'm gonna say this every event though. I'm gonna keep saying, oh wow, here we go. But men's 1500, yeah. Nicky, do you wanna kick us off? What are your stats saying?
Who's the fastest?
Yeah, so I mean, Josh Kerr, the fastest this year. We got five men under the standard. I think Whiteman and Kerr seem probably the favourites given kind of championship performances, even though Charlie Grice and Jake Haywood have both run faster than Jake Whiteman this season. But it's going to be one of those things about, I think, who's going to take it on, because you've got some young guys who finish very quickly and can kick hard. There doesn't seem to be like a natural kind of front runner, and a lot of the guys are used to being in Diamond League races where there's a pacemaker taking them through. We've got some really interesting matchups here though. I think Josh Kerr and Jake Whiteman up at the front, but then, you know, Charlie Grice in the mix there. You've got Jake Haywood, Piers Copeland, yeah, James West, all three very close or under the standards youngsters. And then you've got the kind of the up and coming guys like George Mills, Josh Lay, Archie Davis, I think, is running really well this year, ran an 800 and 1500 PB. And then was the first Brit home at the Gateshead Diamond League in pretty horrible conditions. So I do wonder whether he'll be able to get in the mix. Probably not in the top three, but he might get in the top five or something and beat some of these bigger names. Yeah, so I think it would be really interesting. I think Josh Kerr likes to take these things on with kind of 600 to go. So I don't think it's going to be really, really slow all the way through until 200 to go. I think it will start to shift once they get through 800, but at the same time, last year I think they went through in 2:14 through 800, which is really just walking pace. And the year before they were slow-ish as well, not quite that slow. But in recent years, people haven't been willing to kind of take it on and make it honest. And maybe, you know, people have to run the standard, it will be faster this time around. But if they all work together, they could run pretty quick, I think, if the people who want to run the standard kind of teamed up.
I think, for me, I think when Kerr raced the other day, I mean, me and Ollie watched a video on it as well, and he said if he could just race one race this year and that be the Olympics, he'd happily do that. He doesn't seem like he's one of these guys who wants to race all year round. But for me, he raced the other day and that was a test for the trials, I think. He wanted to just test himself and see if he could run it that way and run a quick time that way. He did have a pacer in Portland or whatever track he did it at. But I think we're going to see Kerr take it out. And if that's the case, I actually think Whiteman will win, but Kerr will get second spot for sure. And then the rest of the field will probably get a host of PBs. That's my prediction, because maybe not PBs, but the rest of the field will run very quick. I think it'll be the quickest British champs we've seen. I don't know what the championship record actually is, but I'm predicting a time under, you know, because we got the prediction. If it's a tie break and numerous people guess the right winners, we've got the 1500 meter time as a prediction to like sort the tie break out. Basically, so the closest person to that time will win the overall prize. And if it was me, I'd also be predicting, you know, under 3:34 for the win at the British Champs. Sports City's proved to be a fast track as well. So, but I was thinking Whiteman and then Kerr in that order. And Mark, you might want to chip in on this as well. Just the sheer entries. We were talking about heats and qualification. There's going to be guys who have run 3:39, maybe quicker, who won't make the final, depending on how the heats are run. Is there something like 70 people qualified for this event? It's absolutely stacked.
It is. First of all, I think Josh Lay might do the 800.
Okay.
So that's one aspect. I think Neil Gurley's got an injury, so probably isn't going to turn up. So that changes things a little bit when we're looking at top three. I'm assuming Bizimana will do the the eight. Tom Mortimer, he's a front runner. He could affect the heat, certainly. I think he's down for both that and the 5,000, but he said in an interview he's going to do the 1,500, didn't he? So yeah. He's another one. He just takes the bull by the horn, so he could do something in the heats to mix things up quite considerably. But, yeah, Grice, Kerr, Whiteman, Hayward and Copeland have the qualifying, don't they? There's rumours about Piers Copeland, whether he's tweaked a calf or got injuries. So that's another thing to consider. I guess Chris O'Hare's retired now, so he's not in the equation. I would love what you're saying to be true, Matt, and Josh Kerr to do what he's doing, because that brings James West into the equation and gives him a chance at the Olympic qualifying time, which is obviously, being a Tunbridge lad, something I'd love to see. I think Josh Kerr is rapidly becoming one of my favourite athletes, not just because of what he does on the track, but just the way he talks. He is so quietly confident in his own ability and what he's going to do. It's so, so impressive. It's great to see. And I think this is where we start to see at this level where the really, really top guys like Jake Whiteman, Elliot Giles, Josh Kerr, they start to just nudge away from everybody. Everybody's watching them. They're not watching. They know what they're going to do. They're not going to, I hate the word execute, but they know how they're going to execute their races. When they go, they go. Chris O'Hare was the same. He knew once he hit the accelerator, he wasn't going to let up, whether that be 300 out, 400 out, whatever. He would go with every commitment possible. And that's the same with these other guys. Whereas I think as Nicky said in his research, you know, the likes of Charlie Grice, they tend to watch other people and respond. And yeah. I think sometimes the likes of Jake and Josh have a slight advantage because they know exactly what they're going to do. And to be fair, Neil Gurley was very good tactically as well. And he knows what he's going to do if he's in a race. But as I say, I have a feeling he might have a niggle and not be running. But it's my big wish. It's a fast one because they're all very capable. Mm-hmm. Could set the track alight. Do you remember years ago, Ross Murray ran 3:30, what was it? 3:34, 5 or something like that in the BMC up at Sports City?
Oh, I think it's 3:36, wasn't it? Yeah, and then ran 34 a week later or something, yeah.
It might have been the Olympic qualifying time that year, perhaps. I don't know. Can't remember exactly, but yeah.
Yeah.
So you can run quick. If the weather's good again, oh, man, the heat's going to be fantastic to watch. Yeah.
Well, we talk about qualification. Because there's so many entries, it looks like there's going to be four heats, maybe more.
Yeah.
And then, so when you start, I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it, whether they do first one and then maybe like, you know, five fastest losers or first two. And then they might, if it's first two and there's four heats, there's only going to be four fastest losers, which is pretty stiff considering you've got a 1500 and there'll be 12 or 14 guys in there to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm just going with, you know, Kerr will take it out and Whiteman, he just seems like he really wants this. He's never won a British Champs 1500 and he's done a lot of 800s this year and he's been a bit quiet for Whiteman as well, who's someone who usually races on the circuit quite a lot. So I think he's going to, like you said, Mark, when he chooses to go, he's going to go and not look back. What do you think, Ollie?
Yeah, I think it's interesting what you guys are saying about Gricey. I think it's probably the first year, obviously like discounting last year, it's the first year where people don't expect him to do anything, really. Like he's had so many British champs where we've looked at Charlie Grice and thought, is this the year he's going to have a stormer? Like he's run really quick before, he's made the Olympic final. Like, yeah. And we're normally talking about Charlie Grice all the time. And I think this year's first year, not many people are. And I think that's going to play into his hands. I think he's going to have a really good run. I think that's going to be good enough for second. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think that puts Whiteman in third for me because I just can't see Josh Kerr getting beat. I don't know. Like, I think almost the opposite of you, Matt. I think Kerr is going to go hard, like really hard with 700, 600 to go. And Whiteman's going to go with him to win that title. And I think it might cost him. And I can't believe I'm saying that because Jay Wyman is a fantastic athlete. Like, he's run fantastic times and great racer as well. But that's just my gut feeling for this one.
That does happen.
Going Kerr, Grice and Whiteman.
Kerr, yeah. Okay, so, yeah. And you, Nicky?
Final decision? Yeah, I think Kerr is... I don't think he's going to really put the hammer down at 700 to go. I think he's just going to wind it from 700. And I think Whiteman will go with him and everyone will be going, oh, this is the point where Whiteman's going to kick past him. This is it. And then Kerr's just going to have another level. But I think Whiteman will come second. I think Kerr is going to win it. Like Mark was saying, he's at the moment, I've got just a huge man crush on Josh Kerr. I just think he's amazing. Everything. But everything that's coming out from him is just, he's so confident. He's so composed and he just is so driven, but he shows like no mental weakness at all, ever. Yeah. I think he's going to go from strength to strength. I think I put him as a medalist at the Olympics.
So
I'm going to go Kerr, Whiteman, and then who am I going to put in third? I'm probably going to put Piers Copeland, because I think Gricey will go with him, and Piers Copeland, provided he hasn't got this injury, I think he'll finish really fast. He'll probably be in sixth at the bell and just come through like a train, a bit like Ollie Dustin.
Yeah, I think Kerr's the favourite. You boys are right.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the women's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with no disrespect, this is probably the slightly weaker of the distance events at the champs for me. When you look at like people who've got the standards, it's been notoriously really strong in previous years. But I just think, you know, unfortunately, a couple injuries, haven't seen anything from McDonald, Ms. Alyssa Courtney as well. Waitman looks like she's stepping up to the five and she's going to be doing the five. So, you know, and if Muir doesn't do it, then the title's, you know, wide open. I think you would kind of just bet on Katie Snowden to win. But obviously for me, if Muir does it, you know, she's going to win whichever way she wants. And, you know, I do really hope that Katie Snowden just bags a spot on the Olympic team and finishes top two, if not sneaks the win. Would you agree, Mark?
Yeah. Sarah McDonald's going to race. She said, I messaged her. She said, you might have to scrape her off the track afterwards, but she's going to, I messaged her. We have a great love of puppies. So, So she's going to race and she's been cross training. She had a stress fracture, apparently.
Right.
She's been cross training, et cetera. So she's going to rock up. I think you'd be crazy to put her in the mix really with that background. Yeah. Interestingly, I think there are people in here who think they can still get the qualifying time, which is 4:04.2. Holly Archer was going for it, I think, at Watford last weekend, but got caught between racing and
attacking the time.
Which is a really, really difficult one. The other one who's suddenly on the up, I mean, I'd love to see them, you know, any of these three get on the Olympic team, which is Holly Archer. Katie Snowden's had ups and downs in her career, injury-wise and things. And the other one's Reve Walcott-Nolan, who ran 4.46 the other night. And there's, I think she just ran a 800 PB as well. And she's run a 3,000 PB. She's got the strength. You'd think, logically, she's getting faster and faster as the weeks go by.
Yeah.
And she's never really been a winner of races. I'm not saying she's going to win, but she's starting to come into the mix here, I think, in terms of the top three. And that would be great to see, because I just love seeing people succeed who have battled away for quite a number of years and not had the success and have had setbacks as well. And I wouldn't go, obviously, past Laura Muir I mean, Ricky and Muir can't both do the same event, can they? Because they're not going to both get selected for the events then that they necessarily want. So, yeah, that's all I've got to say.
The only thing I think is Muir might do the 8,
to help Riki potentially, you know, maybe make it quick, or could be some tactics involved to help Riki.
I think Muir's always getting that third spot if she doesn't do the 15.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So 100%. She almost doesn't have to. And then it's, yeah. I agree with you, Mark. I think Reve will get third if Muir races. And if Muir doesn't, I think, yeah, she could be well in for a shout for second. I think if Muir races, though, that leaves it almost a chance for the girls to get the standard in the race, because I don't see Muir running 4:10. Like, I just don't see her leaving it that slow, to be honest. So I think, like, if she does the 15, I think she'll want to put on a bit of a show. So it could drag a few girls around to the standard. I've got Muir, Snowden, and then Reve. But I think it's, like you say, like, if Muir does it, it's, you don't want to say it's a foregone conclusion, but I think if we're going to give the title to anyone out of all these events, that's the one you almost have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love what Mark was saying about, you know, Snowden and Reve as well. I've been club runners for, you know, since juniors, basically. And so it's so good to see them now battling for Olympic spots. Nikki, do you know what Reve's PB was last year? Because I was just thinking how much he's improved.
Last year, she didn't run many. I think she's basically come down from, I mean, I've got here that she's dropped 8.5 seconds since 2017. So I think it's been coming down pretty significantly. I think it was about 4:16 or something before, not too long ago. So, yeah, it's coming down very quickly.
Yeah, well, I'm just seeing, you know, I think she improves 5 seconds last year, on last year's time. So, wow. Yeah, wow. If she can go all the way to the Olympic standard, that would be incredible progression.
Yeah, Dale Clutterbuck becomes the greatest coach in the history of British athletics.
Yeah. do we even need to vote on this one?
If Muir does it, yeah. Muir's the winner for me. Yeah.
And then this is the big one. We'll let Cez, you want to kick us off for the men's steeple?
Yeah, mate, the men's steeplechase. I'm not gonna comment too much on it. It's like all the events, it's just it's great to see that it's now got really competitive. And I think, well, one of the things I thought with the 1500, why so many people are doing it actually, is because the 5K and the steeple standard at the champs seem to have got a lot quicker. So I think it almost turned people who may have been on the cusp of like a 14:10 or a 14:15 5K guy and a 9-minute steepler almost away from doing that event and just going after a 15 time, because it was a little bit more achievable. But that's a different story, to be fair. But yeah, I think the steeple for me, I've got to go with Zach, obviously. So Lum, you put me on the spot, but it's kind of been mad to see the past 2 years play out. And oh gosh, mate, I don't even like talking about it, to be honest, mate. So I'm gonna let you boys discuss.
Yeah. Well, I love talking about it, to be honest, and I agree with Matt. So I got back to boy Zach Seddon. I think he's got huge championship experience. You got to remember, he's fifth in Europe. Not too long ago at all. He's raced through the NCAA. He's a two-time All-American. I'm just gonna shout out for the boy and just say, yeah, I think he's gonna.
But yeah, but
like, we can't discount these guys, and the standard steeplechasing in the UK has improved massively, and that's a credit to those guys. And I think it's going to be a great race as well.
For me, objectively, like, if I was to look at it honestly, I think the actual danger, the biggest danger in the race, is what Mark Pearce is going to do. And it's, you know, like you say, Mark Pearce needs a standard, but he seems, I know Norman's run quick this year, 8:20, but it seems to be Mark Pearce is almost. I don't know if Mark will be listening to this, but he seems to be the one racing the best. And for me, like, he seems to be the most dangerous going in, because he just seems in form. You know, I know he hasn't run the time to maybe put him in the mixes with Norman and my brother, but
it's on that upward trajectory, like we're saying.
I think that's it. Yeah, it's that upward trajectory, and it's what that gives you going into the champs, doesn't it? What do you think on that, Mark?
Well, I was just checking at the start list if there was 2 seconds on the start list, but what was the qualifying time? I can't remember, but there
is 8:50. It's too quick for me. Yeah,
a bit outside. Bad luck. I'm a great admirer of Phil Norman. He missed out.
Fascinating story. Yeah.
Oh, 4 times did he get within the 3 or 4 times he got within the second of the world champs qualifying, came to Tunbridge at short notice, drove all the way up from Devon to do it, missed by a fraction of a second. I just regret now that it was at the beginning of the evening when there was a bit of a breeze, because he probably would have gone to the world champs if it hadn't been for that breeze that night. So, you know, working as effectively a BT engineer, climbing up poles to fix things, and still mixing it in with his training, and gone part-time, great support from his wife, and done some GoFundMe efforts and things like that. And then the Olympics were postponed. He's into his 30s, of course, even before all this started, you know, that story started. And he's come through from, did you guys interview him? He come through from English schools, and then he had a dip and almost went out of the sport and then back. So this is where I think, if only people knew what we know about the sport and the people involved, the wider audience, just brilliant, brilliant stories behind it and drama that's going on. You know, Mark Pearce, well, I mean, Mark, I don't know him that well, but he's been awful at times over the years, you know. And
I think he only started steeplechasing in 2018, I think was his first mark, you know. So in 3 years, you know, he's now knocking on the door of an Olympic. So.
Yeah. And this is what's so great. There are a few just outside the standard. The 800 and steeplechase, I think, are different events from the 1500. You can go for it, can't you? You can attack that standard. And he's got to. He hasn't got any choice. He's got to. And those three do stand out. You've got Jermaine Coleman, who's also broken 830. But those are the three with the credentials. I don't know if I even put the 1500 in order, but I will go. Oh, you're going to hate me. Phil Norman, Mark Pearce, Zach Seddon. And all three will go to the Olympics, because Phil and Zach have already got the qualifying. Will that do?
Wow, that'll do, mate. That'll do. Nicky, do you want to give us some, maybe some head to heads on Pearce this year?
I mean, Zach's got the best head-to-heads. He's 3-2 up against Phil Norman and 2-1 up against Mark Pearce. Phil Norman beaten Mark Pearce 6 times. And the only time Mark Pearce has beaten both of them has been at the Grand Prix in Gateshead, which the weather was pretty grim, I think. Actually, it was all right. Maybe it was all right for the steeplechase, because it was earlier on in the evening. But still, I think Zach, you know, has beaten them twice in championships as well. Sorry, Mark, do you want to?
Yeah, I was just going to add that you reminded me on that Gateshead meeting, Phil was coming off the back of his qualifying time, wasn't he, a few days before, and been travelling across Europe. So
yeah,
I think it was about a two or three day turnaround from that, going straight to the Diamond League. It wasn't a long recovery, was it? So.
That's true for a steeple as well.
Yeah.
I think Zach's got the head-to-heads, and I thought he looked really good in Birmingham when I saw that. So I'm going to back Zach. I think he's won the 2 championships that they've all raced in, and I think he'll do the same. I think he'll come through in the last lap and take the win. I think for second, I think Phil Norman is going to take it, because I think Mark Pearce is going to take it out, and I hope that he gets the standard for himself, but I think the other two will just sit on him and kick past him. I'm going to go Zach, Phil, and then Mark Pearce at the end.
Hey, if a standard goes down, I think it could be a championship record. I'm not sure what the record is, but I think it's inside 8:22, so that would be, you know, incredible. Fair play, Nicky. I don't know if you're just saying that because you're guesting on the podcast, but let's see how the steeple turns out. I do think that's another one which is fascinating race. Should we move on to the women's? I think this is a bit more of a sure deal.
Yeah, well, we've almost got like without like putting anyone out of it, we've got a two-horse race by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Just like on times, I just don't think you can make up that kind of 40-second PB differential. I think that's what it is. Something like that between whoever's third on the rankings. Is that Maisie?
Maisie Grice.
Maisie's third on the rankings, yeah.
So, I think, yeah, it depends how these girls want to run it. Lizzie Burr ran 1500 PB on Tuesday of 412, which is like the same as Amy Pratt's, but I think Amy's from a couple years ago. She hasn't done one this year, so the speed's like, well, 1500 speed wise is similar, but we know steeple speed's different. Amy Pratt used to quite a lot of 800s though, so you think in a kick she's going to be all right. But Lizzie Bird beat her at the last trials they both contested, but I think Amy was a lot younger than, I believe, like she hadn't been steepling for as long. She was still doing like quite a lot of 2Ks. She still went to the champs before, they've both been to the champs, but I think it's going to be a hard one to call, but I'm gonna go for Lizzie Bird for me.
Really?
This could
be. I'm gonna have to disagree, mate. I think Amy's beaten Lizzie on. I mean, Nikki, you can back me up, mate, but I think Amy's beaten Lizzie on several head to heads, and I think they've raced earlier this year as well, and Amy came out on top then. And she's done some races this year, has Amy? She must.
Yeah, I think she's done a lot though.
She must have done five or six steeples already. So that's the only thing.
And that's the same thing with Pierce.
With Mark Pierce.
Like it's like, is it too many? And
well, I mean, some people like Jess, you know,
when she ran this year.
Yeah, I mean, Jess Judd, for example, loves to race.
Mm.
And, you know, you just saw Ailish do a 10K, a 5K and a 15 in 7 days. Some people just respond differently. So I still think Amy Pratt for the win for me. Would you agree, Nikki?
Yeah, I think Amy's won on the two occasions that they've met earlier this year. Both times when Amy was out in the States, so that was in April, May. So it was a while ago, but I still think that, yeah, Amy will have that mental edge, knowing that she's beaten her twice already this year. She's 3-2 up overall in the head-to-head. But I think for the two times that Lizzie Bird has beaten her, although one of them was at a championship, so both when Amy was a bit younger. So I think now Amy's probably the favourite to win. And I think the only way that I could see her losing is if she overcooks it a little bit too hard, because I think she'll probably lead it and Lizzie Bird might just sit on her. So, yeah, I think Amy is probably the favourite. The race I'm really excited for is actually for third place, because I think... between Maisie Grice and Sarah Tate, both of them under 23s, second and third on the all-time list, they're going to be they're really close to each other in terms of times. And I think that will be quite an exciting matchup there, because they'll be kind of like off, I assume they'll be off the pace of the first two, but those two going for bronze, it would be big for both of them to get a bronze medal at British Champs. I don't think either of them have been in the mix before. So I think that's what I'm going to be looking at as well, I think.
Well, often you see, like, you know, when people sneak a bronze or something like that, it's a catalyst for them to just really push on, and they go, oh, do you know what? Wow, I'll take this a lot more seriously now, or, you know, train even harder. And it just almost like reassures them to just keep going. And, you know, I think we saw it. We interviewed Mortimer, didn't we, Ollie? And kind of saw that with Mortimer this year. He sneaked a bronze at the champs last year. And the same with Jack Rowan. It just gives them a little bit, you know, a little bit of pep in their step. You just get a little bit more confident. So it's good to see that sort of thing for the future.
Yeah, would you agree with that, Mark?
Yeah, it's probably, of all the events we're going to talk about, it's the one I haven't followed as closely, because Lizzie Bird's been in the States quite a bit, hasn't she? So, but I've watched Amy Pratt, and to be honest, I was almost wincing at the number of times she was attempting to win the time
every
season. I'm thinking, this is dreadful. This is like some some young kid chasing an English school's qualifying time and just running 800s and 1500s every week until they got it. But she got it and, you know, surprised me, which is always good to see because I like people just rocking up and giving it a go. And she's so gutsy. I think you mentioned her 800. Didn't she make the 800 final of the British Champs and doubled up last year? I think.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
She was fit.
And again, amazing guts. I think Nikki's right. The danger is it's pretty much her home track, isn't it? And it's expectations. And she, I don't think she's going to put an Olympic selection at risk, but she could put the championship at risk by just being a tad overly aggressive. But yeah, it's going to be a fascinating head-to-head again because they're so well matched. The door's open for the third spot. But those two seem nail on. I guess Rosie Clark this year has been injured. So,
do you think Amy's going to sneak it, Mark? Would you go with Amy?
I did have Lizzie to go to win, actually.
Oh,
another split decision then. But I'm prepared for that, Ben. I've said Lizzie, but it would not surprise me either way. I just think, maybe too many steeples.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And just, coming off a 1500 PB, 10 days before is nice. I think for going into a champ, over distance. And yeah, I think just maybe a bit more experience, a bit of cooler head. I don't know either of them though. So I don't know what they're like in that sense. But from the outside looking in.
Yeah. Right. Men's 5K, probably one of the biggest rivalries in British distance running, isn't it? Mark Scott and Andrew Bouchard. They have a little bit of a... What was that, Mark?
Why is that? Is it a bit of beef, then?
Yeah, I thought there's, a little bit of beef. Do you not know about it, Mark?
I'm trying to think. I'm a different generation. Probably haven't picked up on it, yeah.
All right. No, I think Bouchard was injured one year and the year Mark won it. Bouchard made a couple of comments on the standard of the 5K. I think ever since then there's been a bit of, but both, what are they? I think they're second apart in PBs and, I think it's down to these two for the win. And just purely, we had Mark on the podcast, I do like Mark. He's a great guy, but purely on that 10K the other night. I don't know. Were you there at all, Mark? Because there was rumours he was pointing at his foot on the way round as well. There's been a few rumours about that. So there's rumours he might have had a little niggle during that 10. So I'll just go for me, I'm just going to go with Bouchard, even though he hasn't sort of thrown down a big time this year. I think he's just going to have it on the day.
Yeah, I think I had Mark Scott to win, actually. Yeah, I did.
I think we've been different on every single one, Mark.
I wasn't at Birmingham for the 10,000. I think this is the only thing. Logic says you go with momentum, and Bouchard's got momentum, perhaps a bit fresher coming into it after running that Watford 3000 in 7:43, whatever it was. But he was on his own, basically, pushing and pushing and pushing. Mark Scott coming off the 10,000 must have dented his thought processes a little bit. I mean, I hope the issue with Shelby Houlihan and all the drama this week for the Bowman Track Club hasn't affected him. He's probably been over in this country anyway. Mm. And hopefully he's detached from that. But Mark is, Josh Kerr, I admire him greatly. He's a no-nonsense sort of guy. I remember the Bromley Twilight down for the 3000. They were going to run 61s. I had a little chat with him because it was quite windy. I said, 61s, Mark, do you think that's all right still tonight? Yeah, if the others are up for it, I'll go for it, he goes. And that was it. No sort of airs and graces, let's crack on sort of attitude. I love it. And I don't know if you recall last year's British Championships where he ran pretty quick, didn't he? He just took it by the scruff of the neck and it was scattered. And isn't that refreshing to see in a British Championships? We've spoken about, Nikki spoke about 1500s being slow and stuff like that. There's nothing worse than seeing a 5000 dawdle around and everyone sit there for the last three laps or whatever. It's I don't know, just like to see it pushed along a little bit. And it may be, I don't know that any of the others can run the Olympic qualifying time because it's 13:13. But it'd be nice to see a few like Johnny Davis, Jack Rowe, Paddy Deaver, if he runs it, being dragged into the teens, 13 teens, wouldn't it? But could be superb from that point of view. But again, it depends on these guys pushing it along. They've got no real incentive to, I guess. So, yeah, it's going to come down to the last mile, I should imagine. Nicky's the tactician here, so he probably knows more than I do. But I'd pick Mark Scott to win, Andy Butchart second, probably Jack Rowe, unless Johnny Davis as a blinder. I don't think Jake Smith's going to run. Is that right, you Welsh guys?
Yeah, I've heard he's... Ollie knows more than me, but...
Yeah, I actually haven't seen him in a couple of weeks, so I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't know what the feeling is. And I don't know what the... what that 10K would have thrown up, if that would have had any interest for him either, to be honest. And that's what I think about Paddy, because when we spoke to Paddy on the pod, he said he was 100% going to do the 5. But yeah, I think if I was him, I'd probably go do the 10 with Mo.
I mean, Paddy seemed... Yeah, you guys talk about confidence, and we had Paddy on before the NCAAs. He was at regionals at the time, and he was very confident he was going to go almost grab a medal at NCAAs, and he went on to win it, didn't he, Ollie? So,
and he was then saying, he was like, oh, yeah, I'll be at the champs. And we kind of...
He's confident about British champs as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Did the chat about NCAAs tiring a lot of people out, and he was like, no, the way my season's like going, like targeted, I'll be at British champs, like in the 5.
I just think, like Mark, I don't think it will be quick enough from the outset for them to get a good...
Which is why if I was him, I'd probably go and do the 10. That's because I think if he had the standard already, I think, well, yeah, throw him in the mix. But yeah, it's interesting what you said about with the Shelby stuff. I think, Mark, like, I think about denting him a bit. Like, I hope it doesn't, but I think it's hard to ignore that sort of scrutiny.
He's probably just going to have
it over here in the UK. I just think, like, social media wise, like the way the BTC are, there's a lot of stuff and it's quite hard to avoid it. I just hope that doesn't influence Mark and his preparation at all. But I think that in combination with probably not running as well as he would have liked to at the 10K might just throw him off a bit. I think it depends. I think him and Butchart both will make it. They'll both probably want it to be not quick, but they won't leave it till right at the end. I think if it's right at the end, Mark's got the edge. But I think over the last K, maybe mile, I think Butchie takes it for me. If he plays with the pace, I think Butchie can go up and down a bit more. Whereas if it's like, we're going now, Mark might go, but if Butchie just drops in a couple fast laps here and there, I think he might take it. So I add Butchart, Mark, and then Paddy if he does it, but I'm not sure what's happening with that. What are head-to-heads between Butchie and Mark?
I'm so pleased you asked, because it's so exciting. Butchie's 6-0 against Mark Scott. So that's in his head, surely. That's surely in Mark Scott's head that he's not beaten Butchie over 5K before.
Yeah.
And I think, I think there will be some mind games in the race. I think Butchie might kind of sit for a little bit. I don't think it's going to be really slow. I think it will be, as you say, Ollie, I think it will be quite, it won't be rapid, but it will be honest enough.
Yeah. They might leave it 800 or so, but they ain't letting it go further than 800 at silly slow. They'll both be like, nah, we'll just go, we'll just run. I just don't think
running
70s or whatever it is. Like, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I think in which case, then I think Butchie might throw in the odd kind of surge and be like, oh, you know, am I going to go now? No, I'll sit for a little bit longer. Or and then I think Butchie's going to, I think he's going to win it. And keep his perfect record, because I think with Mark Scott, he's the fact that he had to go up for the 10K. Yeah, he did run a fast 1500. I think he ran 3:36 in May. But the fact that he had to go up for the 10K and now he's having to come back down, I think Butchie's just kind of had a clearer path to it because he's just training for the five. He's got that 3K in him from Watford. So I think he might just be better prepared. I don't think that necessarily reflects that Butchie is the overall better athlete, but I think just in this case, he'll probably have the edge. And then I think the third, I was thinking, yeah, Paddy closed quickly in that 10K, which he won. He ran a 58 last lap, I think. So off, you know, running 67s or 66s, like, I don't know what it is for 27:40 pace, but yeah, so I think he can, he is a threat, and if he chooses to run the five, I do think he'll come third, but same as you guys, if I were him, I would do the 10 because he's got a chance of really getting that time in the 10, whereas I don't think he'll be fast enough, and he'll have to do the work on his own if he wants to get it in the five.
The only thing is, if he could he go on world rankings for the five?
They're not take. Mark, you'll know more than me about this. Actually, it's probably a good time to talk about it. But the selection criteria, I don't think I think British Athletics came out and said they won't take anyone on the world rankings. Is that correct, Mark?
Oh well, I didn't know that. I think it is part of the selection policy or the document. You can get invited. You've got to be on the rankings. There's nobody on the rankings, though, is there? Who are you saying is on the rankings?
Is Paddy on it? I was asking.
No. You've got 42 places for the Olympics. 29 people have the entry standard. That means 13 available only then to go on rankings. I don't think
Paddy was
on there when I last looked.
This is the problem because it's done on points.
Yes,
Paddy's way down. 13-19. I think that's what you're forgetting, Ollie. 13-19 would probably see him inside the top 45 in the world potentially. But it's done on your points, and he's got, you know, unfortunately, he's obviously got not many points being out in America all this time.
Okay.
If Paddy doesn't do it, I think Johnny Davis is probably shooing for the third as well, along with Jack Rowe. I think Johnny Davis has got that finishing speed probably. And he's fresh off a PB. I think he ran a PB in Nice, 13:21 or something. I think he'd be my shout for third.
We haven't mentioned the person who's closest to the Olympic standard other than the
Sam Aitken.
Yeah, Sam Aitken. Yeah.
Yeah, talk about him. Yeah. Like you said, you know, we go on recent performances a lot of the time, and I think Sam Aitken could be a shout, but I just don't like the way he's been known to DNF quite a lot in the past. And he pulled out a 10K, which just makes me think there might be something there a bit more than jet lag. I think not doing that 10K was very strange considering you had the time. So in all retrospects, I mean, the problem Sam Aitken had, he was probably banking on Farah getting the top two. Like, if you told him after the race, man, do you wish you'd done it? He was probably like, well, yeah, I was probably in, because he was probably thinking, oh, I'm not in 27:20 shape or, you know, whatever the pace was going to go out at. But if you just said to him, mate, do you reckon you were in sort of 27 high, 28 minute shape? He probably would have been like, I could probably run around at that, you know? So, but the fact he didn't do that 10K when he had the standard, that would pretty much book his spot to Tokyo, just makes me think something a little bit deeper than jet lag is wrong as well after DNF and that five. So yeah, that's kind of why I didn't mention him, but you can probably speak a bit more on that, Mark.
No, not really. I haven't got any more inside track on it. As we're talking though, I do wonder if Mark Scott would really want to double the five and the 10 at the Olympics, but you know, these top athletes have always amazed me.
Think that is the one the program does allow, and I think the way you hear about like Jerry's group and stuff like that, like in terms of the training they do, they probably can, if anyone like can handle that in terms of like the mileage they do and the and stuff like that, they probably can recover. Like you think, otherwise, I feel like he's the kind of coach, like based on his reputation, that wouldn't even suggest it. I think anyway. With Sam Aitken though, I almost think that not doing a 10K if he did have an injury, was the best thing he could have done. Because like, if he does it and runs really bad because of his injury, there's no way they're taking him third place. Whereas like it's kind of almost outside, out of mind. It's like, oh, Sam's got the time. Maybe he should take it. Yeah. And it's the same thing with a weekend. Like, I don't know. Like, if he doesn't run the 5 or the 10, like, do you think they take him for the 10 anyway?
No, you've got it. I think the selection policy is clear once you get outside the first round. There's 5 rounds, although one of them only applies to relays, and you've definitely got to prove your fitness. Yeah. He hasn't proved his fitness yet. He's got to do something if he wants to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that, Mark. The only other thing, Mark, have you read about this like B standard at all?
Well, that comes into the mix. It's a British B standard, which is 13-16. It is.
Is Aitken just inside that, or is he just outside?
He's 18.57, so he's just outside. Yeah. As I understand it, reading for it, it comes in if you get BA British athletes get an invite, and then they can look at that. After the 29th of June, World Athletics publishes its list of athletes who have not got the standard but listed in ranking. BA will consider those with the British standard who have received an invitation. So that's round 4, if you see what I mean.
Okay.
They have that as well.
It's only a fraction slower, to be fair.
Yeah. In most cases, that's right. Mm-hmm. So, again, it'd be nice. I think there's... You know, Johnny Davis. It's a shame Tom Mortimer's not in there because I was so impressed with his 13:28.
Yeah.
He ran in the European Team Cup, whatever it's called, which is traditionally a tactical affair. But he ran a PB, and he's a great front runner. But of course, I think he's got an eye on the under 23 European Championships. He's ranked number one in that, isn't he? So, yeah.
For me, Mortimer's one for the future massively, and I hope someone out there can see that, and he sort of gets a bit of help and a bit of funding going forward once he's finished up with university. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's disappointing for us that he's not in it, but probably good move really, like doing the 15 and then like not slamming another 5K so that he can go and bring him some good hardware for the under 23s, because I don't think Jakob will be doing it. So
yeah,
a great shout. We butchy for that one.
I'm butchy.
Yeah, I think you're 3-1.
3-1 again. Yeah, so
I'm the outlier.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. The proof will be in the pudding, won't it, Mark? But yeah, another fascinating race. Women's 5K. This one's Nikki. I want you start with this because we've got a lot of ladies in or around the Olympic standard.
Yeah, so I mean, this one I think has the potential to be one of the best races of the champs, because we got 5 women with the standard, 6 if you include Millie Courtney, but I don't think she's going to run from the sounds of it. She's injured. But yeah, we've got Ailish McColgan, Verity Ockenden, Amy Eloise Markov, although I couldn't actually see her on the world rankings. She's on power of 10 as having standard. Yeah. She ran it earlier this year. So I don't know why that hasn't updated. I don't know whether she didn't run it in a race where she was eligible. I'm not sure what the situation is with that.
I thought she had it.
Yeah, and then we have Jess Jard and Laura Waitman. I think as I say, it's on power of 10 that she does have it.
Mm.
But then on the link that Mark has
said that is on weird. The World
Athletics website, she's not there.
Yeah. That is weird.
So I'm not sure what that is. But either way, they're so hard to separate. Apart from Ailish, who is probably a cut above the rest at the moment and time, and also in terms of 1,500 meter speed that she's got. I think the others are all very, very close together in standard. And it's going to be really entertaining to see. Laura Waitman, who's moved up to the 5,000 in the past few years, she's only actually run one competitive track race this year, and that was a 3,000 this week when she ran 8:53. She said herself that she'd gone maybe got a little bit carried away with the pace. She was in a mixed race and she went with some of the boys. But she thinks that she's in better shape than that and is going to do well at the trials. Jess Jards, Markov and Verity Ockenden all ran in the 10K. That order on the day was Jards, Ockenden, Markov. But I don't know whether that will be the same for the 5K. Obviously, at the indoors, Amy Eloise Markov beat Verity Ockenden in a big final lap kind of burn up. So, yeah, I think it's just really, really hard to separate these ones. And I'm not sure how the race will be run. I think quite a few of them won't want it to be too slow, but I think it will still pick up and Jess Judd might take it on or make it hard from kind of a K out like she did at the 10K. And then it's going to be a case of who can handle that and who can, if anyone, can kick past her in the last kind of lap or 200.
Yeah, it's fascinating because it's basically the same lineup in the 10K, isn't it? You know, they're battling it out 2 or 3 weeks later. I think it'll be the same result. I think Judd will do the same. And if Ailis does it, there are a few rumours she might not and just bank on that third spot again. But if she does do it, I think Ailis will win. And Jubb will get second. And I think, I actually think Laura Maitland will sneak the top three. So, that's my prediction on that one. I don't think it'll be particularly slow either because, like I said, Jubb will take it out and Jubb just likes to whittle the field down. So, what do you think, Mark? I think you'll be hoping a Jess Judd win, won't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, she's my Josh Kerr on the female side, probably. Definitely. As you probably know, great fan of Jess's over the years, and again, ups and downs, and she's an outlier again. You know, as you said, last week, the week after the 10,000, she rocks up at Watford. She's down to do the 1,500 there. She said it was in her leg. She finished third in the 1,500, and then she paced the 5,000, but she didn't just pace it. When she'd done her stint, she dropped back through the field to help others. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that, to be honest. Just very aware of other athletes trying to run their times. As the field got scattered, she was just helping a bit longer through the race. So, great fan of Jess's. Again, momentum and circumstance. You know, you'd think that mentally, you know, she's such a high, the emotion that poured out of her, getting that 10,000 spot and the pressure she's put herself under to do it and finally achieve that dream. That's a lot to come down for. As you take then Verity Ockenden, who's the other side of it, who's still thinking, I've got to get this Olympic place. I'm really hungry for it. Again, I don't know what Eilish is going to do. Why are we discounting Laura Waitman? Was she injured or something? Is that why she started her season late? Or is it because Steve Cram's just been really canny and thinking, she's going to make the team and we're peaking for the Olympics, not the British trials.
She did wear flats on Tuesday.
Really? See, I would have her as my favourite.
So I don't know whether that's just like a personal like thing to protect your legs or like because her legs have been beat up. I don't know. But she wasn't wearing flats on Tuesday in that race. She did go off quite hard.
She was wearing flats, man. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so like, I don't know whether that's because she's had an injury or just protecting from injuries, or just like a don't need to because it's just a tune-up sort of thing. Yeah. But yeah, I think so. Yeah, the word on the street is that that Ailish might not run, that she might stay in front, and just because you'd think yeah you get picked, and I think yeah if Ailish does it, she wins. And yeah, I entered the comp earlier so I had my things down. I put Jess Judd win, banking that Ailish might not run, just to just for that. But yeah, interesting you said it, Mark, because I'm kind of changing my mind now. I'm thinking maybe I should have put Wayman. I'm just been thinking more and more about it, and she's just so experienced. And like you say, like with Crammy in her corner, I think he'll just be prepping her to do it when she needs to. So yeah, I'm actually
gonna... Wayman has the best head to heads, I think.
Yeah. So if Ailish does it, yeah, I think Ailish takes a win. If not, I'm gonna say Whiteman and Waitman, sorry, and then Judd.
Yeah, Mark, you were gonna say something about Waitman as well.
I just maybe it's my old brain sort of blurring in terms of memory, but she's performed on world class stage at 5,000 meters, Laura Waitman in Monaco, etc. You know, she's a, no disrespect to Eilish, but she's a different level at her best.
Well, PB is 14:35, I think, which is really quick, and 8:26 for 3K, which is like you said, Mark, it's another level.
Yeah. So I'll take it on face value at their best. I'll go with Laura Waitman to win, and then Eilish second. And Jess has had a moment. Let's get Verity Jochenden on the team with this qualifying time.
To be fair, I think, you know, that is a good point because, like you say, Jess has had the high and, you know, all athletes, you know, want to win and want to compete to their best. But when it really comes down to it and Jochenden has maybe that little extra bit of hunger, you know, on the last lap, and Jess is like, well, I've already qualified for the 10, you know, will it happen? But to be fair, Jess is one of those people who are...
Yeah, if it's going to happen to someone, it's
going to happen
to... Yeah. Yeah, but I see what you mean with like a lot of people. Like, you, obviously, it's nice to double up, but you don't need to make two teams. Like, it doesn't make you more of an Olympian. So you do lose that bit of... Yeah, that bit between your teeth, maybe. But it's interesting. So I don't know where we're at with this one, then.
Well, Mark said Waitman. Nikki, did you want to change your mind and go for Waitman?
I still think I've got Judd down in behind Ailish. If Ailish doesn't run, then I think Judd's going to do it. And I don't know about Waitman. I think I just would have liked to have seen more races from her. I think there's more to the story that we don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be Judd and then probably Jochenden. And then Waitman. I think Waitman might get run out of it.
Yeah. All right. I'll go with Doug. Second that as well. I'm the same. For me, it's Judd. If Ailish runs, it's Ailish.
Yeah.
Well, that concludes the massive prediction contest for probably, like you say, I hope the British champs lives up to all the hype.
Yeah, we'll do this and then it will just be form book, won't it? let's hope for some good races. And yeah, Mark, Nikki, thanks so much for your time and for helping us out with this, because it's been really good for the discussion, I think.
Thanks for listening, guys. We hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you did, please leave us a rating and a review on your preferred podcast streaming service. And as always, if you've got any feedback about the pod, please just send us an email, info@sundaypodcast.com, or tweet us at Sunday Podcast, or on Instagram at Sunday Podcast. Also, remember to enter the competition if you haven't already. Hopefully this has helped you out a bit with that. All the info about that is on Instagram. Again, that's at Sunday Podcast, just to remind you all. And you can be in with a chance of winning that £100 cash prize and the New Balance Fuel Cell RC Elite V2 running shoes provided to us by sportsshoes.com. Good luck with that. See you next week.